Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
So it's not a sin in your church to have an abortion?
That's the kind of conversation we would have, finding out your story, where you're from. God's the judge. People have to live to their own conviction.
The science is clear. The Bible is clear. And if we're honest, our intuitions are clear. We know what we're killing. We're killing a human being.
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What kind of world are we living in?
'Cause we're living in a world of food.
Thank you, Bee Gees. This is Wretched Radio. According to the Bible, we are living in a world of fools. And until you and I start to understand that and grasp what kind of fools we're dealing with...
What kind of fool am I?
According to the Bible, a moronic fool. That's right.
What kind of fool?
A moronic fool. That is the Greek word that is used for the type of people who reject what is most obvious. Believe that something besides the Creator created the place. That's right, you just got four foolish songs right there. Two from the Bee Gees. What more could you ask for? The Bible helps you and me to cope when we start to grasp the world that we are living in. When you see what is going on in the news, when you are consternated by what is happening in Washington, D.C., even though people look pretty cleaned up, they might have a lab coat on, they're wearing a power tie, they are still moronic fools. Now, you and I hear that word, and we tend to think it's a bit of a pejorative, but that is precisely how Romans 1 describes an individual who rejects belief in what is most obvious. If you have wondered, why do people lie? Well, their father is the father of lies. It is also because they have already lied to themselves about what is most obvious, and that is the existence of God. There is nothing more intuitive than the knowledge that God created the world. Romans chapter 1 helps us to understand what kind of world we are living in. Paul says, "The wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness." Because people love their sin, they will suppress what is true. How do they do that? Well, you've got a lot of work to do because God has given a conscience, and so that nattering thing will never be silenced. No matter how hard you try, no matter how many affirmations you receive from the world, when you suppress the morality that God has written in your heart, your conscience bearing witness, you turn that switch off so you don't hear it. You keep hearing it and you keep hearing it and you keep hearing it. And so you've got to continue to work really hard to get everybody to approve your behavior so that you can continue to live any single way that you choose to, because, well, we do love to sin, don't we? We suppress the truth in unrighteousness because what may be known of God is manifest in them. So forget creation. You've also got this thing inside of you. It is known in your DNA. You are hardwired with the knowledge that God exists. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen. Oh, there's light. There must be a light maker. Oh, there's terra firma. There must be a land maker. There's stars. Somebody made the heavens. It is God's great big cosmic duh. There is nothing more obvious than the fact that there's a creator. Being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so they are without excuse. Because although they knew God, they did not glorify him nor were thankful, but became futile in their thoughts, and their foolish hearts were darkened. Professing to be wise, they became morons, fools. And that is what we are seeing these days made manifest all around us, because our culture has arrived at the place where we are now giving hearty affirmation of their sins, another step in the spiral of depravity, that the world says, hey, attaboy, you want to be a girl? Attaboy, 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 Atta person. Way to go. Nevertheless, their consciences won't be silenced, but they will continue to suppress what is so obvious because they want to live any way that they want to. And this is true for any sin and any sinner. And so they reject belief in God. And what do they do instead? Well, after their foolish hearts became darkened, they, professing to be wise, they look so smart. They give addresses before the nation. Total fools. Absolute and total utter fools. And change the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like corruptible man with birds and four-legged animals and creeping things. We should be worshiping the true and living God, but because we like to sin, we suppress the truth. We become fools, but we profess to be wise. And aren't we seeing that these days? The people who are speaking as if they know something when they know nothing. These people who profess to now understand every single issue on the planet. And you can just fill in the blank with whatever you think it is. We've got the solution now. We've got it figured out. We believe in science. That's really our God. And so they've made people like anybody from the health department, the National Institute of Health, the CDC, those are our high priests and our deities because they're scientists and they help us to understand the world. And we now know how everything runs, what is right and wrong. And these days, everything that they profess is absolutely, positively backwards. It could not possibly be more utterly astounding to you and me than to watch a wise man speak these days. Because what comes out of their mouth is just head-shakingly wrong in every regard. Have you noticed that lately? Have you noticed it, especially perhaps in the political realm? What? You think that's a good idea? Somehow, in your mind, you think doing that is the best way to go about it. You think that, for instance, the hot-button issue du jour, and this is one... If we don't get a grasp on critical theory and what it is doing to our education system, government, business, what it is doing to media, to the justice system, Hollywood, everything is being infected by critical theory, which seeks to explain the world, why it operates, why bad things happen, and how we go about fixing it. And by the way, our current president just said, hey, I'm going to lift that executive order, and we're going to start teaching this in our government institutions now. We're going to be teaching this in our schools. Illinois, they are, boy, they make Minnesota look pedantic, just absolutely pedestrian in their approach to changing history. Because Illinois is now going to be superimposing critical theory and making sure that the teachers profess what they believe to be wise. And you can go bonkers hearing it and watching it and seeing the latest speech and listening to the latest report. And you could just go, what? I'm losing my mind here. No, you're not. Their minds are darkened. They're foolish. They're lost. They are professing to be wise, and they're using it to nefarious ends. But the Bible says they're just fools. Why? What's the key? What is the key to all of this? They must be made wise. How does that happen? It ties right into Romans 1. What does the psalmist teach us? That the beginning of wisdom is getting a PhD? No. Watching a lot of Dr. Phil? Certainly not. Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. And if the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, what is the beginning of foolishness? Rejecting the Lord. So once you reject the Lord, you're out of the gates, you're on the racetrack of foolishness, and you are going to beat that horse until it runs faster and faster to get you to the finish line of a cleansed conscience, which will never come. because sin keeps pushing the finish line back. Ah, you thought that. But now you got to do it. Oh, now you got to do it. Oh, there's one more thing you got to do here. And you will never find the finish line of living in shalom, in peace with a cleansed conscience, because your greatest enemy is now your friend. That is the only solution to your problem. And the beginning of getting to the finish line of peace, shalom, a cleansed conscience, purpose in life, an understanding of how the world operates is to have the fear of the Lord. So what do we do? How do you live in a world of fools? When you understand what a fool believes. When you think about what kind of fool they are. What is our message? What should we be saying to this foolish world? Hey, maybe try Jesus. If the beginning of foolishness is a rejection and no fear of the Lord, people need fear of the Lord to become wise. And maybe, just maybe, that has some implications for our evangelism approach and for what we preach in the pulpits on Sunday. Perhaps a little less goo and a little bit more, I don't know, wrath? This is Wretched Radio. Yep. I get it. The thought of not having traditional health insurance, it just feels kind of scary. I would like to encourage you to discover what Mrs. Friel and I have learned about MediShare. It is affordable, biblical health sharing. Or 100,000 Christians strong. This is no fly-by-night organization, a ministry that has existed for 27 years, and they have covered together over $4 billion in medical expenses. Please be encouraged to at least check out MediShare.com/wretched. The average family will save approximately $500 per month. And you can sleep at night knowing that MediShare is sound, affordable, biblical health sharing. MediShare.com/wretched.
Another day and another Wretched Radio. Thank you so much for joining us. And we want you to know that we always value and appreciate you and the time you spend listening to Wretched. We also want to point you in the direction of our latest resource, our new Bible study curriculums. They're interesting, relevant, and of course, biblical. Our new curriculums are derived from our resources, Drive By Marriage, Drive By Theology, Drive By Parenting, Stressed Out, and Jesus Unmasked. You can check out the entire slate of Wretched curriculums at wretched.org/study. That's wretched.org/study. And hey, while you're there at our website, make sure to take a look at our donate page and prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner. Wretched relies on the kindness and generosity of God's people just like you to spread the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ all over the world. And you can know that Wretched will honor your generous gifts with faithful stewardship and full accountability. Wretched, amazing grace, amazing gospel.
If only we had a clip of Dr. Steve Lawson explaining what the Master's Academy International is and perhaps encouraging you to support it. Hey, what's this button?
The goal of TMAI is to take the timeless truths and the timeless principles that are found in the Word of God and build those into men in those countries so that they in turn can preach the Word of God and be used by God to plant churches.
Talk about providence, Dr. Steve Lawson. Commending and encouraging you to support this long vision ministry, equipping pastors to rightly divide the word of truth by going to a mini seminary, we'll call it, in 17 nations around the globe, trained by a master seminary graduate. It is brilliant. Please learn more about the Master's Academy International, wretched.org/pastor.
Books of the Bible. Because God's people disobeyed, he sent them into exile. The book of Ezra tells us of Israel's return under Ezra's leadership and preaching, and how Israel underwent a period of intense reformation.
When you experience divine chastisement, look to Ezra to see that God's discipline is meant for your restoration and reformation. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
What kind of fool am I?
A really foolish fool, but what a voice! Like 70 here.
It seems that I'm the only one that I have been thinking of.
Could hardly walk, but those pipes.
What kind of man is this? An empty shell. A lonely cell in which.
You know, kids, this is when people could sing. This is Wretched Radio. Isn't that funny? Every generation says that. I've said that to my kids, and I've actually heard my kids say that to younger people. Oh, you know, the music these days. Ah, the way that people, my generation could really sing. Well, let me tell you, this was a generation.
A fool I am. What kind of clown?
Romans chapter 1 helps us a lot if we are going to learn to cope in a world of fools breaking us down when they all should just let us be. We will go bonkers because everything that seems to be presented these days as wisdom is utter foolishness. And so if the beginning of wisdom is the fear of the Lord, what does that turn our evangelistic encounters into? An apologetics debate? Just talking about the fulfillment that you'll find if you become a Christian and fill up that God-shaped hole in your heart? Does this have any implications for what is preached on Sunday morning? I would like to suggest it absolutely does, but not because we are living in this particular generation, but because that has always been the approach. That the Holy Spirit convicts the world of sin, of righteousness, and of judgment. In order to make the gospel glorious, we must be proclaiming the wrath of God. We must be talking about the holiness of God, the righteousness of God, the justice of God, so that people tremble before a just and holy law. Until then, they will be foolish. And the key to wisdom is not just giving them a book and saying, read this, you'll get smarter. It doesn't work that way when it comes to wisdom. Their minds are darkened because they want them to be darkened. They will utilize anything these days, specifically evolution, in order to reject what is clear and obvious. Romans 1 screams it. God exists. That's the most obvious thing on the planet. And so now, when you look at, for instance, our current president, who said that an 8-year-old boy absolutely should have funding from the government to become a girl, you go, whoa, 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 what? Well, that's easy for him to say. He's already rejected God. Rejecting genders, that's nothing. Oh, that's easy. Once you've crossed the Rubicon, it's just anything is just, it makes sense to them. And it becomes wise, and you're the dum-dum. You're the one now who is the fool. It is completely flipped around. And I wonder if maybe, just maybe, this is a message not to become imbalanced in our preaching and in our evangelism, but until we perhaps start lifting up God and informing the world, you got a big problem. You see, you're terrorized of death. And by the way, the fear of death, the fear of disease, the fear of a foreign entity taking over, this is not a new concept for the 21st century, where we have exchanged our liberties for safety. If you read a book from a long time ago, it was either John Locke or Thomas Hobbes, that in a desire to have the state be your safety, you'd be willing to exchange some of your liberties. What does that tell me? It tells me that centuries ago, people are so concerned about death, they're so afraid of getting sick, they're so worried about being killed, that they don't care what the cost is. Just keep me safe! And don't we see that today? And don't we see that applied even now? Why? Because the world is terrified of death, because their biggest enemy is still ringing their conscience bell, is still proclaiming a sermon to them every single day through creation. Furthermore, that knowledge, that innate understanding that God exists, they know God exists, but they suppress the truth. And so they have to exchange everything that is true for false. And what do you do then if what you believe is, well, to use the Greek, moronic, foolish? You dress it up and you make it look smart and you present it from behind a podium. You do it at a State of the Union speech with austere and robust, an austere group of people who look awfully powerful and smart. That's what you do. You dress up foolishness. And you're seeing that today repeatedly. And if we want them to become wise, they need the fear of the Lord. Does that mean we all go out and buy sandwich boards and we just start saying, you're going to hell, going to hell? No, we've got to start where Paul started when he would evangelize and preach the gospel. You've got to start with creation. This is why the creation debate is a raging one still, because that's where you really need to begin. Duh. Of course, there's a creation. If you can't grasp that, you have nothing wise to say. We need to help people to understand that God made the world and he is just. And you've got a very big problem. And it's not a disease. It's not an illness. It's not a foreign power. It's God. Your biggest enemy is God. You have a date. The showdown is set for you. And you are going to face the one that measures the universe with a span of his hands. And he is going to open up the books. The one who knit you together in your mother's womb, who wrote your DNA code, knows you that well. And he's going to open up the books on you. And he is going to judge you. And you are going to be exposed for being foolish and for suppressing the truth, the chief crimes against God. Then all the other sins fall in line after that. And he will do with you what is just and right, and he will give you what you have earned for yourself. And it is a most terrible thing to fall into the hands of the living God as your enemy. And if we don't get back to start preaching that and stop sugarcoating it, people are going to remain fools. Furthermore, we're not going to love Jesus as much. We want to be careful that we don't go into a ditch recognizing that our world's, the minds are darkened. They are fools. They really need the fear of the Lord, which they mock as foolishness, don't they? Who are the right, wrong, or indifferent? It's not the way that I would approach it with the hellfire signs, but aren't those the preachers that just get mocked the most? Ah, look at that old Dante business. Rube, fool, or a worse pejorative. And yet we know that they're the ones who are foolish, and that is precisely what they need. So we want to be reasonable about it, and we don't want to just use it to scare hell out of people. We want to do that to help them understand what? What do we want them to understand when we elevate God as the world's biggest enemy? That they should not fear man, who can merely kill the body, but fear God, who can kill both soul and body and send you to hell. Why would we do that? And the answer might be, well, I mean, they need to be shaken up. Their pride, they need to be knocked down a rung. Yeah, true. Well, it's so that they stop acting like knuckleheads. They need fear of the Lord to have wisdom. True. But ultimately, we want to preach about the wrath of God so that they understand the goodness of God displayed in his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he died for us while we were yet morons. How amazing is grace that God would die for people, you and me, who were once morons, rejecting him, suppressing the truth and unrighteousness. We all did. We all were foolish, and yet he patiently let you live and breathe and move and have your being provided for you until He did his convicting work and he humbled us. And he saved us by applying the atoning work of Jesus Christ, who died for fools. We want to preach about the wrath of God so we can elevate the cross of Christ, so that we can lift high the cross, the blood of Christ proclaim to all the world, adores his saving name. Not just likes him. Yeah. Good teacher. Good stuff that. Oh, get out of heaven free guy. Yeah, I'm good. No. So that they adore him. Perhaps it's time for you and me to make an adjustment. Pastor, maybe it's time for you to do that. Perhaps it's time for all of us to do that when it comes to evangelism. To stop, perhaps, watering down the wrath of God, the holiness of God, the justice and righteousness of God, so that we can help people who are foolish to understand you've got an enemy, and your only escape is to be justified and brought into a right relationship through Christ. This is Wretched Radio.
This is Wretched Radio, and I am Jimmy Hicks. Well, Tennessee Governor Bill Lee corrected Vice President Kamala Harris about abortion over the weekend, telling her that killing a baby in the womb is not health care. And it's not. The exchange happened Friday on Twitter on the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, the U.S. Supreme Court's ruling that forced states to legalize abortion on demand. Since 1973, more than 62.5 million unborn babies have been murdered. Harris, who's a radical pro-abortion Democrat, celebrated the ruling in a statement saying, quote, "On the 48th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we recommit ourselves to ensuring that everyone has access to care, including reproductive health, no matter their income, race, zip code, health insurance status, or immigration status." Shortly afterward, Lee, who's a pro-life Republican, corrected Harris and urged Americans to support real health care for women and babies. Lee wrote, quote, "Abortion isn't health care." Lee recently signed a law to prohibit abortions once an unborn baby's heartbeat is detectable. However, the state cannot enforce the law because Roe v. Wade. In 2019, Lee also signed a law to restore legal protections to unborn babies once the infamous ruling is overturned. An executive order signed by President Biden last Wednesday will force schools to allow biological boys who identify as girls to compete in girls' sports. At issue is an executive order Biden signed to prevent discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation. The executive order says, quote, "Children should be able to learn without worrying about whether they will be denied access to the restroom, the locker room, or school sports." In Connecticut, two biological boys who identify as girls won 15 state track titles. Of course they did. It's the Biden administration's policy, the order says, quote, "to prevent and combat discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation and to fully enforce Title VII and other laws that prohibit discrimination on the basis of gender identity or sexual orientation." Because obviously it's discrimination to say boys and girls are different. Anyway, Title VII of the Civil Rights Act of 1964 prohibits discrimination in employment on the basis of race, color, religion, sex, and national origin. The U.S. Supreme Court said Title VII also applies to sexual orientation and gender identity. Because that makes a lot of sense. Anyway, significantly, the executive order says the Biden administration will apply the legal reasoning to other areas of the law, including education. The executive order requires the Biden administration agencies to, quote, "review all existing orders, regulations, guidance documents, policies, programs, and other agency actions and make sure they're all consistent with the new policy." The policy overturns the Trump administration's policy, which held that schools are violating Title IX when they allow biological boys who identify as girls to compete in girls' sports. As it should be, because, again, boys and girls are different. Not rocket science, it's common sense. More Wretched Radio is still to come. I'm Jimmy Hicks.
Names of God. Is Jesus God? One name given to God in Scripture is El Gibor, the Mighty God. One occurrence of this name stands out. In Isaiah chapter 9, El Gibor is the name given to the promised Messiah. Jesus is that promised Messiah. He is God incarnate. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Ah, the faith statement of a foolish world. This is Wretched Radio. Romans 1 describes the individual who suppresses the truth in unrighteousness as a fool. And the credo of the contemporary fool is, if it feels good, do it. Why? Because we are living in a world of autonomous self. We are living in a world that has told us repeatedly this world is really about you. It's not about others first. It's certainly not about God first. It is about you first and foremost. And if you just try really hard, believe in yourself, then you can do anything that you want to. The credo of the contemporary world. Along comes the Bible and says, actually, just the opposite. The heart is deceitful above all things, desperately sick. Who can understand it, including yourself? The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice. There is a way that seems right to a man, but in the end, its way is death. Whoever trusts in his own mind is a fool, but he who walks in wisdom will be delivered. A fool gives full vent to his spirit, but a wise man quietly holds it back. The world says, if it feels good, do it. If your heart gives you a hearty affirmation, it's a great big morality thumbs up. Knock yourself out. The world has it backwards. The Bible sets it straight. Careful. Don't operate based on feelings. This really, believe it or not, to a degree, where we're at in contemporary thinking, the zeitgeist of our age, always has many influences, but not the least of which would be romanticism, the idea of self, and doing whatever it is that makes you happy, to love yourself above all things. We had a romantic period of art and music, but those ideologies, those thoughts have not disappeared. And so if you go to a university campus or frankly ask somebody in the cube next to you, what's the chief end of your life? Well, to make me happy. So I got to make me happy. I've got to do things that are fun, that are satisfying. This message, of course, comes from academia and also too often from evangelical pulpits. It even comes out to a degree in the message, hey, you've tried all these other things, but wait, try Jesus. That is going to really make you happy. And that just sings to the romantic's ear. Good, because I want me happy too. Jesus and I are on the exact same page. I want to be happy. He wants me to be happy. Terrific. Let's go hand in hand with Jesus until they discover the real Jesus. They want the make them feel good Jesus, not the real biblical Jesus. And yet, this message has made its way into evangelical pulpits from, right, frankly, so many charlatans who present Jesus as the happiness maker, the shalom provider. Oh, it's just amazing to be a Christian. And that's why we're happy slappy all the day. Come on in and see the show. And you just watch us perform. It's going to be amazing. Was reading a quote from Kevin DeYoung, talking about why so many people are rejecting the church these days, and so many people have said, well, it's because it's staid and it's boring. And so we've got to gussy it up. We've got to make it more entertaining, more amusing. And so it is that we have made it a show. We've got whipped cream and confetti and concert stage. Kevin DeYoung. Church isn't boring because we're not showing enough film clips or because we play an organ instead of a guitar. It's boring because we neuter it of its importance. Ah, that's interesting now, isn't it? Too often we treat our spiritual lives like a round of golf where we just talk about what we think about God. Enjoy the scenery, the ride in the golf cart. That's what we like when it comes to religion, and that is what we have too often provided in the seeker-sensitive movement. And the world is actually, to a degree, wising up to us and going, wait, what? I'm supposed to exchange an A-level concert for this on Sunday morning? I can go watch the whole movie on Netflix. I don't need to see clips from it and have you talk about it as if this is just some sort of life lesson. I can get those in the comfort and convenience of my own home on my schedule. I don't need church. I don't need your trivial stories. I don't need your how-to lessons. And we have responded to something that the world, it is indeed aware of. God exists. They know this. They have a conscience. And so it is, these people, wanting some sense of religiosity, will go to something that just sings to them. We thought that was a good idea. So let's make church like them so that they'll come. And guess what? It's failed. It's utterly failed. And frankly, you're going to see the failure of it more and more these days. Why? Why in the world would somebody want to lose their job by going to a silly center on Sunday morning? We're seeing that all over the place, aren't we? That people will get shut down, they will get canceled, they will potentially get fired because they're on the wrong side of the issue. Just wait until Christians are open game. Oh, we can forget the people who were wanting Trump elected. How's about those Christians? Just wait. Do you think that the people who started going to church to be amused and entertained are going to continue going? Not a chance. What? Why? Why would they? We have shot ourselves in the foot. Church isn't boring because we're not showing enough film clips. It's boring because we neuter it of its importance. The world does ask the questions. They just don't have the answers. Where'd I come from? Why am I here? What do I do with this guilt burden that is heavy on my back? What's going to happen to me when I die? Come on, church! Let's sing some Van Halen, man! And regularly, they can't even find the beat. The world doesn't need nonsense. They've got plenty of it where they live. They've got cable TV. It's everywhere. And yet the church has decided we're going to participate and give it to them. Does this mean now that church needs to look like a caricature of a Puritan service? Yeah, maybe. But how's about we just start getting serious about what we're doing? And we do start speaking truths that have long been too hidden from the world and from the individual who stumbles into a church. That our religion is called Christianity because we love Christ. And the way to help people love Jesus more is by raising up the standard of who God is to help them understand their sin problem and that they face the wrath of God. And that the only way to have him assuaged is to be hidden in Jesus Christ. That's it. There's your option. Jesus or Jesus. Take it or be ground to powder. Well, that doesn't make God sound very loving. Then we need to make sure that we aren't just preaching wrath as if we're torqued. And it feels good. It could be a little bit of a cleanser for us, couldn't it? It could just be a catharsis. Ah, the world is just all stupid. That's what Romans 1 says. They're morons. Hell. You're going to hell. So there, President. Yeah, fine. Go ahead and sign the Green Deal. You're going to hell. Hold on. That's that's a mess is what that is. It might make you feel better, but that's not what we're about. We want people to see Jesus Christ who came and dwelt among us. If you get frustrated with fools, how do you think it must have been for Jesus? That he had to cohabitate with people that the Bible calls morons. So dumb we are. And he came and lived with us. The diamond of heaven stepped off of his throne to take on a human carcass, to live a perfect life of righteousness amongst a bunch of total knuckleheads, not to mention sinners. Not to mention depraved minds, not to mention feet that were dirty from more than just the filth that was in the streets, hands that were covered in blood. Jesus came and dwelt among us, God with us, Emmanuel, to do what? To seek and to save that which is lost. He did that willingly, not as a victim, as a volunteer. Why? For God so loved the moronic world filled with wicked, totally depraved sinners. He gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life, starting now. If our wrath preaching, our high and lofty holiness preaching, does not lead us to the cross of Christ, to hold him up as the amazing Savior he is, then we will have done it a disservice, and we too will simply be fools. This is Wretched Radio. Just pretend that I'm interviewing Paul Marty, the executive director of Tomorrow Clubs, kids clubs all throughout Eastern Europe. And I've asked him about the value of the Tomorrow Club partnership with Wretched, and he responded like this.
You know, I want to be sure that your audience knows how powerfully God has used our partnership with Wretched. With your help, we've seen thousands of kids come to Christ, whole families saved, communities transformed, and churches revived all across the former Soviet nations that we serve.
Thank you, Paul. I'll talk to you later. Thank you very much. If you have been supporting Tomorrow Clubs, wow, thousands and thousands of kids getting saved, families getting saved, churches revitalized. If you are not a supporter of a Tomorrow Club, please visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched and join in this joint effort to save souls. tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Okay, Boomer, it's time for you to take a step back and examine your behavior. So let's take an honest self-assessment here. Are you being a sharent? Okay, you didn't mishear me. I said sharent. Are you being a sharent? What's a sharent, you ask? Well, a sharent is a parent who shares way too much information about their families, especially their kids, on social media. So, are you a sharent? Because listen, you honestly don't have to be. We have a way better way for you to spend your time. You can head on over to Wretched.org and watch full-length episodes of Wretched TV, listen to the hour-long Wretched podcast, and visit the Wretched store for all things Wretched. And while you're spending your time wisely at Wretched.org, would you please prayerfully consider becoming a gospel partner? Because without you, there is no Wretched, and you'll just have to go back to embarrassing your kids on social media. And trust me, nobody wants that. Visit Wretched.org today. That's Wretched.org.
Clearly, I am not the sharpest bulb in the drawer. Nevertheless, I can figure this out. In order for a woman who is experiencing a crisis pregnancy to see an ultrasound, who 80% of the time chooses life, you've got to have an ultrasound machine. Perhaps you have the means to provide an entire ultrasound machine for a preborn center. If you do, please know the people who use these machines every day, they know their power and they are so grateful.
This is our sonogram room, but we call it the miracle room. But for many years, we didn't have much support for this miracle room. Thank you for the new machine that is on its way.
Thank you indeed. And if you could provide an ultrasound machine or an ultrasound for just $28, please consider doing so. Preborn.org/wretched.
Important dates in Christian history. 529 AD, Benedict of Nursia establishes his monastic order outside of Rome. His written code of conduct, called the Benedictine Rule, becomes the most influential guide for centuries of monasticism in the West. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
It's story time! Courtesy of our very own Jimmy Jam.
Uh-oh.
This should have made rehearsal.
Yes, sir.
What a funny idea that is. This is Wretched Radio. Jimmy, what was the story you were just sharing with me?
Oh, yes.
Well, I can't remember. I'll tell you, like I told you a second ago, I don't remember where I heard this, if it was a sermon in person or if it was something recorded from YouTube. But I remember this pastor gave an illustration that he had a church member who would, an old lady who would sit on the front pew every single week. And if he began to veer off of Christ and his focus being on Christ, she would holler out, "Get him up! Get him up!
Get him up!
Yep.
Sir, we would see Jesus." Can't forget that. And it's sadly easy to do, especially when you are addressing issues that are so frustrating. The world is just bonkers, and you can get so torqued and so perturbed. And we could have a tendency to really just Okay, for instance, there's a clip floating around out there. It's been sent to me a number of times. It was John MacArthur talking about individuals who put their hand on the Bible to swear an allegiance to uphold the Constitution, and yet they are determined to kill more babies, and yet they are determined to ultimately undermine marriage, the bedrock of social structure. To do everything that is anti-God, you're putting your hand in the Bible, be careful. See what God did to Uzzah and be warned. And we go, yeah, yeah, you go, preacher, give it to him. No, that's not why we do these things. If it does not lead to loving Jesus more, to lifting him up, what is it? Get him up. Preacher, get him up. Talk about Jesus. You're talking about sin. Get him up. Talk about what Jesus did to conquer that sin. You're talking about a profound theology. You're talking imputed righteousness. Imputed righteousness. And you can go on and on and on. And then you can decry infused righteousness, the Catholic system. And we all at the end say, amen. But if it didn't get him up, how was it accomplished? Who did this for us? And why did he do this amazing thing? And if we cannot preach it in such a way that causes you to go, ooh and ah, then we need to get back to our desks and write a little harder. Pray a little bit more fervently. Love Jesus more ourselves. I cannot wait. In a few weeks, I'm going to be sharing something with you where I think you might be hearing what could be considered the quintessential example of that. Now, there are all kinds of ways to lift Jesus up. For instance, tell me what is one of the greatest sermons preached on American soil? Can you think of some? Now go back. Don't just think of the latest conference. Go back. You probably, at least on your short list, would say Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. How much Christ was in that sermon? Not a lot, frankly. Not a lot. It was a lot of wrath. And then it preached it at the very end, run to Jesus. You're dangling over a flame by a spider thread. And God at any moment could snip the cord. And if you are not found in Christ, you will perish. It wasn't a lot of it, but it ultimately had the impact of helping you to go, wow, I need him. I want him. He saved me from that. That is what I desire. The one who did that, not just the theology, but the one who accomplished it. No easy task. Especially when you can get so annoyed at the world. Have you heard the phrase, I'm a woman trapped in a man's body? How did we get here? Carl Truman, convinced changes we've seen in sexual mores since the 60s are symptomatic of deeper changes in how we think of the purpose of life, the meaning of happiness, and what constitutes people's sense of who they are and what they are for. To understand how a man can actually be a woman trapped in a man's body, we must understand how and why a certain notion of the self has come to dominate the culture of the West, and why this self finds the most obvious manifestation in the transformation of sexual mores. That's the big battle right now in the morality arena. many of us are very concerned these days about the political arena. This is the big one right now. It had to be sexual. It had to be. With or without Sigmund Freud, this is where this debate was ultimately going to go regarding morality. Why? Because Romans 1 tells us that's where it's going to go every single time. Because people, they love their sins. But which sin do they love the most? Sex. It's the one they love the most. With or without Sigmund Freud and his influence. Back to Carl Truman. Sigmund Freud, through whom psychology has become sexualized, and his followers, through whom sexuality became politicized. Freud thought that humans are, in essence, sexual creatures and therefore defined by our sexual proclivities. If before Freud, sex was a matter of activity, after Freud, it was a matter of identity. If before Freud, sex was about doing what made you happy, after Freud, sex was about being your authentic self. Have we heard that? And that's why somebody can proclaim that they are a man trapped in a woman's body or vice versa. Those who advanced Freud's thought, well, they used a Marxist framework. So they added sexual norms as marks of an oppressive patriarchy bent on maintaining its own power. To resist the patriarchy would require total sexual freedom and self-definition. This is about self. All of it, everything that we see is ultimately about self. Self-satisfaction, self-pleasure, self-fulfillment, self-actualization, self-esteem. We are the gods of our own making. We love ourselves, and we're seeing it now more than we have probably ever seen it, at least certainly in a generation or two, most certainly. The 60s were interesting. Kind of looks like child's play now. You look at what they were doing on Laugh-In, which was shocking then. It's rather quaint today, is it not? What are we seeing? The self-authenticated individual desiring to reign, to suppress the truth in unrighteousness so that they can live sexually any way they want. That's what abortion is about. Abortion, it most certainly is about the taking of an innocent human being's life. No question about that, but why? So that I can live my life. So that I don't have to be encumbered with a child. So that I can do anything that I want to. So that I can fill in the blank, finish my education, get a good job, I can move, I can still go out at night, I can still do the party scene, I can spend more money on me. But it goes deeper than that, doesn't it? What's underneath that? I want to have abortion so that, why do they teach sex ed in schools? So that you can be frisky and do what pleases you the most without any consequence. This is really about sex. And that's exactly what Romans 1 tells us. In order to live the way that they want, to do with their bodies whatever it is that they choose, they suppress the truth in unrighteousness. Their minds becoming darkened, professing to be wise, they became fools. And that's the world we live in. It is a lost, dark world. They are not our enemies. They're the harvest field. And they are no different than the way you and I used to be. No different whatsoever. And if we fail to find the correct preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ, we'll have responded wrongly to this whacked out world that we're in. Maybe, just maybe an encouragement, all of the energy that you've been putting into being annoyed with what's going on, maybe, what if you took that and perhaps slotted it a little bit differently? That turn that agitation into a concern for these people. If they're that agitating to you, wait till they fall into the hands of the living God. And then get out there and do something about it. And start proclaiming the gospel to the world, to your neighbor. And maybe, less talking about politics. Get them up. Do you know what's going to happen to these people? Do you know what's going to happen to our current president when he faces God on Judgment Day? Do you know the terror that is in front of him? Get him up! That's what we're here to do. We are to proclaim reconciliation with a holy God, only available through the death of our Lord and Savior, the God-man Jesus Christ, who humbled himself to the point of death, death on a cross. Let us lift high the cross. Get him up so that people will adore him. That's always been our message. Those have always been our marching orders. Until tomorrow, go serve your King.